your Bibles this morning to John chapter 9, John chapter 9, as we continue this series in the Gospel of John. How many of you, as you're turning here, I'm going to ask you this, how many of you have gotten the star ID on your driver's license? You got that? I said, we were having that discussion this week in the office, and just talking about our experience in doing that, and interesting enough, some people did not have the same experience that I did. But anyway, when I went, I had to get an eye test, and there were not a lot of people in the office that had an eye test. Now, I do say this, on my driver's license, it says, do not let him drive without contacts or glasses. And that, I'm sure that was behind it. So anyway, we're taking the eye test, you know, you bring these documents like you're going to give your young child away. And so we had all these documents, and so I had to take the eye test. And so I'm looking in that little thing, and I get the first one line right, the second line right. I'm getting a little confident, and so get to that third line, J-N-K-S. Nope. She said, you got three of the four right, but you missed the last letter. I said, well, J-N-K-Q. Nope. J-N-K-R. No. J-N-K-D. No. She says, you're getting close. So the people around me are going, poor boy, he shouldn't be driving. And so anyway, so I start, well, okay, J-N-K-A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H. She said, you got it. So so anyway, so everybody's going, what's wrong with him? But anyway, I could see, but I wasn't seeing. I could see, but I wasn't seeing. The story we're going to read today, and I want you to follow along, is we're going to find out about a blind man who can see now suddenly. But what you're going to notice is all around this man are people who could see, but they weren't seeing. And as we read through the story, we're going to do it a little different today, so I'm going to invite you into the story today, not to just observe everybody, but I want you to imagine that you're just there in town and this story takes place, because it's funny, it's weird, a lot of it doesn't make any sense, there's a lot of parts you're going, wow, that's amazing, but if you just kind of read through it, you miss all of that. And so John chapter 9, let's read together. I want you to imagine you're sitting there and this takes place. What would your response be? In verse 1, it's talking about Jesus. It says, as he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? In other words, in those days, if you know, there was a cause and effect. If somebody had something wrong with him, it means that, hey, you did something. I mean, if he's blind, either he did something bad, even in his mother's womb, if he was a difficult child, and that it started all there, or his parents did something that caused this. And so this guy and this guy's family have lived with this their entire life. And you know, all the people are going, I don't know why he won't just come clean. We know he did something or he wouldn't be in this condition. And so it goes on from there in verse 3, Jesus replies, neither this man nor his parents sinned, said Jesus, but this happened so that the works of God might be displayed in him. In other words, this situation we're talking about is the context for something God is about to do. Now, you're just listening and going, do what? I thought he messed up and that's why he's blind and now God's gotten involved. Are you serious? Verse 4 says, as long as it is day, we must do the works of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. While I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. In other words, he's just saying, listen, I'm with you right now, and the best picture you're going to get of who I am, I'm God, is right now. And so he's walking around town. He sees this blind man. They have a question about who messed up, him or his parents. And he says, no, 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 this is the context of God is about to do something. So I want you to think about this guy. You know him. He lives down the street. And his entire life and in the life of his family has had this cloud over it. He did something. His kids or his family did something, or he wouldn't be in this condition. And suddenly, in a moment, Jesus walks up and absolves him of all guilt and announces God is about to do something in your life. And they're all going, what did he just say? That makes absolutely no sense with what we believe. It goes on from there. Verse 6, after saying this, he spit on the ground and made some mud with saliva. Now, you're reading that and going, yeah, I know that part. That's just weird. I mean, you know the disciples, if you're sitting there going, did he use hand sanitizer before he did all this? I mean, seriously, that's what you're thinking. Because we look at this and we go, well, that's in the Bible. That's not weird. No, it's weird. He just spit on the ground, made some mud, and he put it on the man's eyes, it says in verse 6. You know, the disciples are going, Jesus, Jesus, come on, man. You don't have to do all that. Verse, that could turn people off. They were going, hey, we don't want him touching us. Verse 7 says, go, he told him, and wash in the pool of Siloam. So he's put this mud on his eyes. Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Now, notice this, because we forget this. He didn't tell him what was going to happen. So you've been blind your whole life. Jesus walks up, starts spitting on stuff, makes mud, sticks it on your eyes, and says, go to Siloam. And historians tell us this would have been a very difficult journey, that he would have had a very difficult time getting there even if he could see. So you can imagine sending a blind man on a difficult journey, very crooked paths. And it simply says, so the man went and washed, and he came home seeing. The blind man walks by faith and not by sight. Do we talk about it? We sing about it. But he basically comes down to what we always talk about. He's going, yes, Lord, and I don't even know what you're going to do. Yes, Lord, I don't even know what this means. But by faith, he leaves where he is. He goes to this place that Jesus told him to go. He's obedient, and he comes home seeing. In other words, his faith has released the power of God in his life. Let me ask you this. Have you ever come home with the power of God released in your life? Have you ever taken a step of obedience and you came home, you're going, this is your story. Your marriage was different because you did what he told you to do. Your time was different. Your life, your purpose, your hope, your peace, the way you handled your money, the way you served, the attitude you had toward people, everything was different simply because you came to the point to say, listen, I'm going to do what he told me to do. It didn't make any sense. I mean, he just spit on the ground and made some mud and put it on his eyes, and he tells him to take this difficult journey, and he didn't even tell him why he was going. But let me ask you, have you ever gone and done what he told you to do, and you've come home, fill in the blank? So if you're sitting there, what are you thinking? Well, in verse 8, it says his neighbors, the neighborhood association, has showed up. Y'all got a neighborhood association where you live? We got a neighborhood association, and better than that, well, let me put it this way, worse than that, we have a neighborhood Facebook page where my goal in life is to wake up each morning and not do some discretion or sin so that I end up on the neighborhood Facebook page, and our family's been on there a few times. You know, when they say, hey, there's a man in an old gray truck that's dented on the side that just didn't stop completely at the stop sign in front of my house, it narrows it down. Like you don't have problems. So anyway, the neighbors show up, and they're with the neighborhood association, and verse 8 says, and the neighbors and those who had formerly seen him begging asked, isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg? And some claimed that he was, and others said, no. He only looks like him. But he himself said, I'm the man. And so it's me. it's really me. And he says in verse 10, then how then were your eyes opened, they asked. He replied, well, the man they called Jesus made some mud. See, somebody's told him, I don't know if you know this, but that dude spit on the ground, put some mud on your eyes. He didn't know that when he left. He said, they put some mud on my eyes, and he told me to go to Siloam and wash. So I went in, and I did what he told me to do. I went and washed, and then I could see. I love verse 12. He says, where is this man? They asked him, and he said, I don't know. Don't you know he wanted to say, y'all, when he put the mud on my eyes, I was blind. When I went to Siloam, he was gone. When I got back, I couldn't see. I don't know where he is. And they're going, well, where is he? And they're going, I've been blind. I don't know where he went. When I came back, he was gone. Verse 13, you're just listening in. It says, they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been blind. Now it's about to get fun. We're going to get the religious people involved in what God is doing. And verse 14 says, now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he had received his sight. He put mud on my eyes, the man replied, and I washed and now I see. Verse 16, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. Well, he did keep the Sabbath. What he didn't keep was their idea of what it meant to keep the Sabbath. Because God said, keep the Sabbath holy. Well, then all the religious people of that day got all these rules together. You know what one of the rules was? Is that you couldn't spit on the ground and mix anything up. You couldn't make dough because that was mixing. But when you spit on the ground and put mud in you, don't you? You kind of grew up like that, didn't you? Anybody grew up like that where you couldn't mow the grass on Sunday? Y'all? You can forget fishing. I didn't fish, but I thought that was weird. You know, all the things that you weren't supposed to do, well, that's that group. And they're going, you can't do this, you can't do that, Jesus. You're not doing what you're supposed to do. And this man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath. But others asked, how can a sinner perform such signs? So they were divided. And then they turned again to the blind man. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened. The man replied, he is a prophet. Now, did you notice in this, they said, he can't be from God because he doesn't act right. Let me ask you this before we get too critical of the Pharisees, and they're so easy to be critical of. Has Jesus never acted right in your life? Has there been a time you say, he's just not acting right? Don't get all spiritual, just be honest. Has there been a time where you thought, hey, I'm doing what I'm supposed to do, and Jesus, you're supposed to do what you're supposed to do, and he didn't? And I've been faithful, and I've been trying to do what you want me to do, and you didn't do what you're supposed to do. In other words, Jesus, you didn't act right. So the Pharisees, it's like, man, he can't be from God because he didn't act right. Did you notice they miss what God is doing because they got hung up in the how of what he did? You say, that's so crazy. How many of you have missed what God is doing because of the how? He didn't follow the script. I was going to do this, and then he was going to do this, and this was going to be the result. Let's just be honest. There's people in the room today, there's people who are watching online, because Jesus didn't act right, you left the church, didn't you? I don't want anything to do with that thing. Because I did what I was supposed to do, and he didn't do what he was supposed to do, so I'm out. Some of us, we just pulled back and said, I'm going to distance myself from God because, you know, he's just not doing what I think he should do if he's God. If I was God, I wouldn't think, God, you're not God. I would do this. No, he's just not acting right. And I was going to do this, and then this was going to happen, and we were going to have this in our life. So we have to be careful to make too much fun of the people who could see who weren't seeing. All they could see, he didn't act right. It goes on. Verse 18, it says, they still did not believe that he had been blind and had received a sight until they sent for the man's parents. So now just thinking, you're just sitting there watching and going, hey, can you get Bill's parents to come in? I mean, go to the neighborhood and get them and bring them back. We got to have some explanation about this. And so they sent for the man's parents. Verse 19 says, is this your son? Is this the one you say was born blind? You know, he wasn't blind then. You just say he was born blind. He's been faking it this whole time. Yeah, this is a whole racket you people have got going. You say he was born blind. How is it that now he can see? In other words, we know it's not a miraculous thing because God didn't, he doesn't act like that. Can't be a God thing. What's going on in my life, God's abandoned me because he don't act like that. Really? Verse 20, I love this. Well, now we know he is our son. Okay, we got that out of the way. And verse 20 says, and we know he was born blind. Verse 21 says, but how he can see now or who opened his eyes, we don't know. Now, we know a couple things. That's our boy. That's Bill. He's been blind since day one. We're not sure how he can see right now. And I love it. They just go, ask him. We don't want to talk about this. This is weird for us. You notice the parents aren't jumping up and down going, we're having a party, Bill can see. All they're going, I don't know, talk to him. We're a little upset and a little concerned and a little trouble because God didn't act right. They could see. They could see. But they weren't seeing. And so anyway, his parents said, ask him, he's of age, he'll speak for himself. And his parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had already decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah would be put out of the synagogue. And that was why his parents said, he is of age, ask him. Let me ask you, all of you who can see, have you ever been worried about what someone else might say about your seeing? He said, why do you do what you do, man? Why is your marriage like that? Why do you spend your money that way? Why do you invest your time? Why do you serve? Why do you love people that aren't like you? Well, Jesus, because there's some people who can see who are not seeing. I don't hear anything about Jesus. So you're just listening in. Verse 24, it says, a second time they summoned the man who had been blind. And I love this. Give glory to God by telling the truth. You know, we need another story that fits into the box that we have God in, where he acts right. Come up with another story, because we know this man. They know this man is a sinner. He don't fit in the box. Verse 25, he replied, he's put up, he's out. I've had all I can take with you people. And he says, whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know, I was blind, but now I see. Isn't that your story? I mean, isn't that the story? I don't understand it all. I don't really know everything he's doing. I can't explain it all. And if you want to know the truth, a lot of it just seems a little weird. But I used to be blind, and now I see. I used to be headed to hell, and now I got a place in heaven. I used to get up every day with no purpose, and now I have purpose. I had no hope, but now I have hope. I had no peace, but I have peace. I used to be addicted, now I'm free. I can't explain it all. I can't make it all fit in your box. I'm just telling you, I did what he told me to do, and I came home. What's your story? Or are you one of those who can see, but you aren't seeing? I often think about John writing this story. John's putting together the gospel under the direction of God, and John's an old man when he writes this. But as part of me thinks, like, we got to put in there about the blind guy. We have to put in there about the blind man. Y'all remember the blind guy? Because, you know, if you know John's story, it made no sense. We look at John, and it's one of the stories that says that John was the disciple that Jesus loved. We're going, that's so cool. But his story don't make any sense. What he did was weird. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is walking along, and he sees James and John with their father in the fishing business. And Jesus comes along and says, follow me, and I'll make you fishers of men. And if you read in Matthew chapter 4, it says, they got up and left their father in the boat and followed Jesus. And we want to sit in church and go, that is unbelievable. If that happened and your neighbor did that, you'd go, that psycho, I can't believe he left the business and left his dad sitting there. We get all spiritual. That's just, man, John's so good. That's why he goes, we got to talk about the blind guy. Because you know the neighborhood association was meeting and they put on there, John is no longer living in the neighborhood. He left his daddy in the business and followed some nut. Because there's always going to be people who can see, who aren't seen. Goes on, verse 26. It says, then they asked him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? Because they probably heard about it and they're going, surely that's not how it happened. He answered, I have told you already, and you do not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too? And then they hurled insults at him and said, you are this fellow's disciples. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from. You can see and not be seen. The man answered, now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly person who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. Not only can the blind man see, but he is seeing. Verse 34 says, to this they replied, that doesn't fit in our box, and so we want nothing to do with him. You're saying, what translation are you in, Jeff? It says, you were steeped in sin at birth. I don't want to hear from anything you got to say, because your story doesn't fit how we think God ought to act. How dare you lecture us? And they threw him out. Let me ask you this. Does your life reflect that you were blind and now you see? Or does your life reflect that you can see but you are not seeing? Could we fall in one of those two categories? I mean, when you look at your life and you look at your marriage and your family and your money and your time and how you handle yourself and how you treat people and your attitude and your approach to life and how you serve others and how you think of others, does your life reflect, I was a blind man, but oh, I came home? Or are you another religious person who can see but is not seeing? We just sang, and I didn't know we were singing this. Lord, give me vision. We just sang this, to see like you do. Some of you today, and some of you watching online, you're stuck today because Jesus didn't act right. He didn't do what you thought he ought to do when you did what you did. There's no explanation. There's no answer. You just got to make the decision. Yes, Jesus. And I don't even know what you're going to say. Otherwise, we fall into the trap of a bunch of people who can see, who aren't seeing. Would you be brave enough today, before you leave this place, before you turn off your computer, to pray to God, say, God, open my eyes. Give me vision to see like you do.